Hanging out with Clint Sterner and Wade Smith, I'm Jeremy Branham. Deshaun Watson did not play well against Baltimore. I'm a stat guy. Stat shows me that he didn't play very well. You're a video guy. You like to watch the tapes, Clint. And you saw the tape. Deshaun Watson didn't play all that well. Deshaun Watson, over the course of his career, has shown that he can bounce back pretty good. First ever start against Cincinnati, didn't play well, 125 yards, three sacks, bounced back with what should have been a win against New England, threw for over 300 yards, had two touchdowns in that game. Week 6 and 7 last year, he beat Buffalo and Jacksonville, but it was in spite of Watson, because he was 15 of 25 against the Bills, 177 yards, two picks, seven sacks, and then the next week against Jacksonville, 15 of 24, 139 yards. What did he do? He bounced back with a 5-touchdown game against Miami the very next week. Rough game in Washington, week 11, threw two picks, bounced back with 3 touchdowns against Tennessee the very next week. This year, you can go back to the win against Jacksonville. He won the game 13-12, did not play well, only had 159 yards. What did he do against the Chargers the very next week? 350 yards, 3 touchdowns. Carolina game, sacked 6 times, 160 yards. They lost 16-10 against Atlanta, 426 yards and 5 touchdowns. This year, the Indy game, about to get the rematch. But against Indy, he threw 2 picks in a 30-23 loss. He bounced back with 3 touchdowns against the Oakland Raiders. So what that tells me is that Deshaun Watson, over the course of his 3-year career in the NFL, yes, he's had some bad starts. He's had some really bad starts. But more times than not, he's bounced back with a really good game. What does that tell you as a former quarterback about the Texans quarterback?
It tells me he's caught some pretty bad opponents after he's had some rough games. You look at that Miami, Tennessee, Chargers, Atlanta, Oakland. Those are good opponents after you struggle to come back and have a good game against. No, look, I mean, it's Deshaun Watson. Dude's ridiculously talented, obviously. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason why he has a good game following a bad game or a bad game following a great game. You know, I just don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it. I do believe that he's a student of the game. I do believe that after tough outings that last for 4 quarters where adjustments aren't made to win the game in the end, I think Deshaun Watson is a quarterback that and not just in those situations, I think he's a quarterback that is very, very critical of himself and self-evaluates constantly. And so I do think there's something to be said about a guy of Deshaun Watson's caliber and him gathering his thoughts and him self-evaluating and really refocusing on the little things, refocusing on maybe getting DeAndre Hopkins a football, maybe getting through his progressions quicker, maybe understanding the moment. I think the fact that he is a student of the game allows for those types of improvements. I don't think it's something that he's just adjusting. I think he's learning. I think he's developing. I think he's learning from his mistakes as we watch him grow every season. And so not surprised at all that he bounces back from tough games with better performances. I think it's actually him developing, not just bouncing back.
Yeah, man. When you look at it, Deshaun Watson, he's gonna be that type of guy that more times than not, he's going to have a hell of a ball game. You got to take the good with the bad. You look at sometimes he's going to have an off day. Every quarterback has an off day. There's no such thing as a quarterback that goes through 16 games of a season and they dominate every single ball game. It just doesn't happen that way. But the thing that you have to be encouraged by is when he does struggle, when he does have an off game, he does come back with a vengeance, and you see it in his performance. And people can talk about, well, look who he played. You can play against somebody that's not that good and not dominate them. You know what I mean? You could have just had, he could have had average ball games against him. He could have had, you know, 220 yards and a touchdown and no interceptions. But he didn't. He destroyed those teams. And so that's why he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, because he has the ability to do that. He's going to take advantage of an opportunity to improve on a bad performance that he had the week before. His talent level has not diminished from 1 week to the next. He's still Deshaun Watson. He's still the guy that people were talking about as Michael Jordan. He's still that guy that made those plays against the Raiders and those plays against the Colts when they took a touchdown away from him the first game. He's still that guy. And so I fully expect him to come out here and ball tomorrow night. That's just what I've seen out of him. He is that caliber of quarterback. And if you disagree, that's why they get to put the ball down and play it, baby. That's why you get to tune in and watch and see what he can do.
We got some textures, 713-572-4610, that bring up a good point, and it really counters what I'm saying about that Deshaun Watson's really good at bouncing back. What if it's just that he's inconsistent? He's a young quarterback in his third season. Yes, the peaks are really high, but he's also shown that he's prone to some duds over the course of his NFL career. So could it be the consistency factor of a young quarterback? And if it is the inconsistency of a young quarterback, how fearful of that should you be?
Yeah, look, I think it's six one way, half a dozen another. I mean, when you talk about, yeah, it's inconsistent. Young quarterbacks are inconsistent. That's why they're young quarterbacks. That's why older guys that are longer in the tooth that have seen every blitz are more consistent. They're more accurate. They're more calm. They're more efficient. It's because they've seen it before. And so, yeah, there's an inconsistent factor there with all young quarterbacks. And there's definitely one there with Deshaun Watson. I'll say that Deshaun Watson is well ahead of the curve, relatively speaking, to how many starts he has in the league. And I think when I looked at, and not the list that you read off, Jeremy, but when I look at Deshaun Watson and his development, I think Deshaun Watson is a guy that needs more command of what's going on, right? And he will get that as he moves forward. You hope. I don't know what Bill O'Brien allows him to do and not do, but there's situations that have come up, as we mentioned earlier. We've talked about them all week long. Jacksonville at the beginning of the season, and then last week versus Baltimore. There is no doubt about it that what Baltimore wanted to do. There's no doubt about it. Back in that, for that first time that we played, the Texans played Jacksonville with Jalen Ramsey. There is no doubt what they were going to do. You were going to get a heavy dose of man, aggressive man, and they were going to force you to execute accordingly. And so I think as you move along here, you're going to see Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien, but you're going to see Deshaun Watson figure out what he wants to do in those man-to-man situations. You've seen him already executing the RPO at a high level. You've seen him in big moments versus New Orleans executed at a high level. Big moment the second half of the Chargers game executed at a high level for a half after struggling for the first half. The key with young quarterbacks is about adjustments, guys, right? When the game plan's perfect and the opponent plays into your hands, your first, second reads is there, the protection's there, it's easy for a young quarterback to play at a high level, especially when you're as talented as Deshaun is. The kicker is how do you deal with adversity? When the game plan don't work, when the first option's not there, when the pocket's collapsing, what do you do? For the most part, Deshaun Watson does a good job, right? There's been a couple of times where he himself is hiccuped, and you've seen that in a big way affect the team for four quarters. It wasn't that he hiccuped. It was that they were never able to adjust. And so whether that's Deshaun Watson or Bill O'Brien or a combination of both of them, that's what's got to get more consistent. When those times come up, the adjustments have to be made.
So we're talking about consistency. I want to try something out with you guys. I'm going to throw you guys two sets of stats. It's going to be 4 weeks of ball games. And I want you to tell, after I give you these stats, guess who the quarterback is. So the first week, 233 yards passing, no touchdowns, no interceptions. The second week, 161 yards passing, one touchdown, no interceptions. The third week, 305 yards passing, three touchdowns, no interceptions. The fourth week, 429 yards, five touchdowns, no interceptions. All right, that's four sets of game, right?
Now, is that just random four or four weeks?
No, there's
streak?
Four straight in a row. Okay, okay. I'm gonna make this a legitimate deal here. Now here's four other weeks right here.
All right,
283 yards passing, two touchdowns, one interception. 238 yards passing, zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. 422 yards passing, two touchdowns, one interception. And on the fourth game, 235 yards, one touchdown, zero interceptions. Who's the quarterback?
I'm going to guess it's Watson and Russell Wilson.
It's the same quarterback.
Oh.
It's the same quarterback.
I'm going to guess it's Brady.
It's Brady. It's not Brady. It's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, one of the most veteran quarterbacks in the league. Those numbers were pretty inconsistent, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is. Quarterbacks have up and down ball games. I think we're getting too down on Deshaun Watson when he has a bad game. And there's nothing wrong with being up when he has a great game. And you look at the teams that people are playing, I feel like I sound like Bill O'Brien right now. It's a week-to-week league. And so sometimes you're going to have a veteran guy that doesn't have a great ball game. That's just part of the deal. I mean, there's certain game plans that you go out there and you don't look good.
Yeah.
And I think last week Deshaun Watson didn't play well. That's not going to diminish or take away anything from him, what he can do going forward. He's shown that after a bad game, he's going to play a good one. These performances by Aaron Rodgers.
Is that this year?
This season, yeah, it's 2019.
My counter argument to that would be that Green Bay's 8-2.
What's your point?
That they've won those games. That at least four of those games that you mentioned that were bad, he won at least two of them.
I'd have to go back to check the wins. I'm just looking at the stats.
Because he's only lost two games all year, so you'd have to look at it. But
one of Deshaun Watson's bad games,
still a win.
It was a win.
Yeah,
and a couple of his great games, they still lost.
It's so the nature of the position.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think we're putting too much in him being young and inconsistent and all that type. So, no, all quarterbacks are inconsistent unless you're Russell Wilson that's having an MVP season. And Aaron Rodgers is having an MVP season. A lot of the reasons why he's having an MVP season is because he puts 305 yards against the Kansas City Chiefs, somebody that people would diminish a good game out of Deshaun Watson for because they don't have a defense. He still got to go out there and throw those touchdowns and make those plays.
Right.
So, I mean, he's right there with those same guys in the same category, and I expect him to play well tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football.
When you're playing the Falcons of the world, you need to throw for 350 yards and three touchdowns. But whenever you're in a dogfight against Jacksonville or Carolina like Watson was earlier this year, it's not going to matter at the end of the day what the numbers are if he throws, you know, a pick, 200 yards, 16 for 31 or whatever the case may be. But the good quarterbacks, the great quarterbacks, are the ones that when they're not playing their best or statistically they don't look great, they still find ways to win those games, like Tom Brady has done over the course of his career. Tom Brady, you look at his numbers this season, outside of the first couple of weeks, pretty mediocre, but he's winning games. Aaron Rodgers, you just reeled off the four bad weeks that he had in a span of time this year, still won those games at 8-2. So, yes, I think that's part of Watson's development, honestly, is that when he doesn't play his best, he finds a way to win those games.
Well, I don't think those was necessarily bad weeks. I just rolled out four games in a row to just illustrate the fact that a couple games, he looks like an average quarterback. And in a couple games, he looks like an all-world guy. And we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, a guy that is consistently considered an MVP of the league. And so I'm just saying you have that here in Deshaun Watson. Because he has a bad game, that doesn't diminish the fact that he's not going to have another really good game going forward or great games going forward. That just shows you that's what it is like in the NFL. Quarterbacks have games where you look at him and be like, oh, okay, he just had an 84.4 passer rating. But then a couple weeks later, he has a perfect game, 158.3.
Yeah, and you know, I just thought of the quarterback rating number two for Deshaun Watson. Like, I think he's top two all time in minimum games where Deshaun Watson has the best quarterback rating ever of all time. So I think that would argue against the inconsistency for Deshaun Watson. Okay, if he's so inconsistent, why is his quarterback rating one of the best all time for a quarterback who has started the amount of games Deshaun Watson has? Clinch Turner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham. The college football rankings came out yesterday. Wasn't a change 1-7. LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, still your top four. Alabama's at number five. I mean, I think Memphis at 18, Cincinnati at 19, and SMU at 25 are way too low. But you look back at Alabama at five. A lot of people were thinking that they were going to take a bit of a dive after they lost to a Tagovailoa. They don't have what you would consider a high-quality win. I thought that was ludicrous. I mean, this is Alabama. This is Nick Saban. They still have a 9-1 record. There's no reason that they should have been moved from the number five spot that they're currently at, and they were at.
Yeah, look, to me, it's the game of it'll work itself out once again. Georgia, with a loss to a 500 football team, should not be above Alabama. And I don't know who Oregon lost to or who Utah lost to, but if assuming that they didn't lose to a 500 football team, then Georgia should be ahead. I mean, they should be ahead of Georgia as well. I understand that there's some quality wins. I do. I understand that there's an eye test. But when you lose to a 500 football team whose coach is in jeopardy of being fired, that to me, that is detrimental to your case of belonging in the college football playoffs. And so for me, it would be Alabama in the four spot. But I do believe that right there is simply because they know that LSU at this point will have to play Georgia and it'll all work itself out relative to what SEC teams are in or are not in. I think this, I still think Ohio State's the best team in the country.
Why is that?
I when I watch Ohio State play, I buy more into what they're doing than I do LSU. Now, I like LSU. I like what they're doing. I'm blown away with what Joe Burrow's doing. I'm blown away with what Jalen Hurts is doing. Those two guys, the corner they've turned from a quarterback perspective, just playing the position different than I'd ever seen them play, is hard to wrap my head around that they're doing. However, just when I watch those two teams play, I think Ohio State is the best team in the country. And that's hard for me to say because y'all know I'm not a Big Ten guy. I'm not an Ohio State guy. But I think Ohio State's a better football team. LSU's defense is suspect, and it might end up biting them in the tail before it's all over with. They got Arkansas this week, so it more than likely will not be this week that anything bites them in the tail. But I think that defense is going to be a problem once they get in them college football playoffs.
Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham, James Wiseman. Remember him, right? The news came out on James Wiseman on his length of how long he's going to be out. Memphis announcing that they were going to drop their little counter deal that they had with the NCAA, drop the subpoena that allowed James Wiseman to play. Well, the NCAA has ruled on James Wiseman. He must sit out 12 games total. He'll be eligible to return on January 12th. He'll also have to donate $11,500 to a charity of his choice. You look back at the date, January 12th is when he'll be able to return, so that means he'll only miss one conference game. That's a home game for Tulane. So a resolution, Memphis, I'm sure, is probably pretty happy about this. They get Wiseman back in time for conference play.
So when is he supposed to do this donation? I'm all about charity. I'm all about giving back. So if he made the donation, let's say a week from now, does he get suspended again?
Well, he'll just borrow from FedEx. It's all good.
I'm just saying, and then he gets suspended again. Like, that was a weird little stipulation to the deal. But, hey, man, 12 games in the overall grand scheme of things is not going to affect Memphis one way or the other, or what they're going to do when they try to get into the NCAA tournament. I think that it gets him back in time to play some of the better games in their schedule, and also, more importantly, when it comes into their conference games and into the conference tournament, and they're going to have a tough conference to deal with. You got U of H is in the conference, and there's some other good teams in the conference that they're going to have to deal with. So we'll see what happens, but Wiseman is going to be top one, top two pick in the NBA draft. And so I'm sure he'll be able to come up with that 11-5 in the near future.
At some point. IOU from James Wiseman. But he will be able to play for most of the conference games for Memphis. Will only miss one. He'll be suspended 12 games and have to repay the money that he was given from Penny Hardaway to a charity of his choice.